أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين In the name of Almighty God, Allah, most gracious, most merciful, may the prayer and the peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and upon his family and companions all together. Ameen. Welcome once again to A Glimpse of Islam, or the safe zone of A Glimpse of Islam. My name is Saifuddin Hassan, your host. And I greet you with the greeting of peace, the greeting of all the prophets of God, of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, just to name a few of them. Peace be upon all of them. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. The purpose of our show is to present the noble teachings of Islam as revealed in the Holy Quran, the final revelation from Almighty God, and by the example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who was born in Arabia over 1400 years ago. Despite the fact that over one-fifth of the world's population is Muslim, Islam is often distorted, misunderstood, and misrepresented in contemporary Western society. We pray that this show will help shed some light on Islam and dispel any commonly held misconceptions that have ignited hatred, bigotry, and prejudice. We pray that people of all faiths and ideologies will join us in making this a world of toleration, understanding, and peace. Islam, what is Islam? Islam is an Arabic word which is derived from the Arabic roots of Silm and Salam. These terms mean submission, obedience, and peace. As a way of life, Islam calls for complete submission to the will of Almighty God Allah in order to obtain peace. A Muslim is one who freely and willingly accepts the supreme power of Almighty God Allah and strives to organize his or her life in accordance with the teachings and guidance of Almighty God Allah. Mohammedanism is a misnomer to Islam and offends the very spirit of Islam, for Muslims do not worship the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Islam is not a new way of life, but is the same message that Almighty God Allah has revealed from time to time to all prophets and messengers. Allah has said in the Quran for us to say, we believe in Allah, and that was revealed to us, and that was revealed to Abraham, Ismail, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, and that which was given to Moses and Jesus and to all the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between one and another of them, and we bow our wills to Almighty God in Islam. Alhamdulillah, as we just mentioned, the name of Abraham, may peace and blessings be upon him. We're going to talk a little bit about the Hajj, which is just sort of finished its season here the last couple of weeks. And we want to kind of tie that in what we were talking about last time, and we were talking a little bit about racism. And being that our society right now, once again, and it probably actually hasn't gone away, but we see that once again, we see a president, unfortunately, who has almost given a platform so that these racists, whether they're skinheads or the Ku Klux Klan, sort of have a platform now to march and, you know, proclaim their bigotry again. So we're going to try once again. We talked a little bit last time about how Islam tries to eradicate this racial prejudice from its societies. And we talked a little bit about Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, when he went to the Hajj, when he went to this pilgrimage to make this, you know, trip to Mecca, and he found all peoples of all colors, all races, black, white, red, and brown, all bowing down to one creator. And, of course, at that time, in 1964, this didn't seem possible for him, you know, because of all the racial tension that was existing. And we're talking here in 2017, and we're talking some of the same things. We're seeing some of the same things happening in our society today, the racial tension and the Charlottesville incident and all of these things that is plaguing our society. So first of all, we mentioned, and I just want to mention this real quick, we talked about the creation of Adam, our father. May peace and blessing be upon him. And as we said, we as Muslims, we believe that Adam was the first creation, first man created, and he was the first prophet. or one who received revelation from God, because he had to spread that message from God to his progeny, to his family, to his wife, Eve, Hawa, to his sons, his daughters, everyone. So Adam was the first man and first prophet. But what happened before or during the time of Adam when he was created, there was another creation, as we mentioned, because Muslims, we believe in the unseen, just like we can't see the air that we breathe. We know that the oxygen is there. We know that we are breathing it in every day. It's something that is keeping us alive, but we can't see it. So as Muslims, we believe in an unseen world. And that unseen world consists of two creatures that Allah has created. And that are first the angels, whom Allah created from light, who only submit their will to God. And there's another creation called the jinn. They call them demons. They call them spirits. They always say that they see these things in abandoned houses, ghosts. They call them all different kinds of things. But as Muslims, we believe that these, you know, creatures exist, but we cannot see them with the naked eye. Just like we have to have microscopes and different things to see certain things, these creatures are not seen by the human eye. And so when God created Adam, he was creating Adam as his vicegerent. He was creating Adam as the best of his creation, as we said. And so when God created Adam, Satan, who was from the jinn, became jealous. And in essence, God asked everyone in, you know, significance to Adam, not to worship Adam, but as an honor to Adam, the best of God's creation. He said, everyone has to bow down to Adam. And everyone bowed down. And Satan, just to, you know, give you a better idea, he had elevated himself to be like one of the angels. So this is why some people believe he was a fallen angel. But he had elevated himself to be righteous. Just like human beings can become righteous, they can be worshipers of God, they can get close to God, they pray, they fast, they do all of these things. This is what Satan did. But when God created Adam, he got jealous and envious. And when God said, bow down, he said, I'm not bowing down, you know, to the one you have created. And God asked him why. He said, Ana khayru min khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. I'm better than him. I'm better than Adam. So this started not only the first rebellion against God, but it started the first racist idea that because of my physical composition, you, God says, you know, Satan says, excuse me, you created me from fire. Satan was created from a smokeless fire, and he created Adam from dirt. He created Adam from, you know, the dust and the sands and the earth and water and mixed it together. And he molded Adam with his bare hands. So God created Adam, and God created the jinn, and God created the angels. And he told them all to bow down, but they all did except Satan. And in essence, he became the first racist. So we, as human beings, we have this freedom of choice as the jinn do. So now we're looking at one another based on our physical composition. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that the best of you are those who are God-fearing. Not the black, not the white, not the rich, not the poor, but the people that are closest to God and the best in the sight of God are the most God-fearing, and only God knows who is the most God-fearing. And God said once again in the Quran, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the variation in your languages and your colors, surely in this is but a sign for those who have sense. So our languages and our colors and all of these beautiful things that God has created is a way for us to be better as human beings, to come together, to look at one another and say, wow, look at the beauty that God has created. Look at each other, the differences that we have to the very tips of our fingers, as God says in the Quran. Now we know that every single human being has a different fingerprint. From the time of Adam all the way to the day of judgment, every human being will have a different fingerprint. So we have this beautiful diversity that God has created from human beings. We have different languages, different colors, all of these different nations and tribes. And God finally says a beautiful verse in the Quran that, O mankind, we have created you all from a single pair of a male and a female, and have made you into nations and tribes that you may get to know one another, not hate one another. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of God are those who are most God conscious of you, and God is full aware and well acquainted with all things. So all of these nations and tribes that God has said for us to come to know each other, it would be a very boring world if we all looked the same, we all acted the same, you know? I mean, we are all different as human beings, and this is the diversity, the beautiful diversity that God has created. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, you know, in relationship to one of the five pillars of Islam. And one of the five pillars of Islam, as we expressed before, is the first one is to declare your shahada or your declaration of faith. And that's just to say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, that I bear witness that there is only one God, and I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was born in Arabia over 1400 years ago, is the last messenger and prophet of God in a long line of prophets and gods who were sent by God to humanity to guide them to the straight path. And as we talk about this, we talk about the prayer five times a day. This is also one of the pillars of Islam, to pray five times a day. And one of the other pillars of Islam is to give charity, which is called zakah, 2.5% of your excess income, as well as fasting during the month of Ramadan, where Muslims abstain from food, from water, from, you know, cohabitation with their spouses during the daylight hours. And finally, Hajj, or pilgrimage to Mecca. And this is what we're going to talk about as we rounded down the Hajj season. I didn't get a chance to talk about it two weeks ago when we were right in the midst of the Hajj season, and we had our celebration of Eid, which is called Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of the Sacrifice. And this Hajj is the final pillar, one of the final pillars of Islam. And it is when Muslims actually make pilgrimage to Mecca. And Mecca, which is located now in Saudi Arabia, about 2 to 3 million people congregate there every year. And this is described by even non-Muslims as the greatest assembly of human beings ever. And one of the reasons we believe as Muslims, by the grace of God, it is said that when Abraham, peace and blessing be upon him, made this call for people to come to the Kaaba, that every nation heard this call. And from that time, all the nations of the world have congregated to Mecca to worship the one God. And basically, the Hajj is an obligatory act upon Muslims, that every Muslim, male and female, if they have the ability physically, they have the financial means to do so, they have to make this one trip to the house in Mecca once in a lifetime, having the ability to do so. And as I said, it's incumbent upon everyone, male or female, doesn't matter. So Hajj is the time we commemorate the sacrifices of three people. The first person being Abraham, may peace and blessings be upon him, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as Khalil Allah, the friend of Allah. And he is known as the patriarch of monotheism. He is known in Islam as Abi Din, the father of our faith, because it is said it is Abraham that named us Muslims. He named all the people to come after him Muslim, those who submit their wills to God. So as Muslims, we believe that all those who followed Abraham, whether it was Ismail, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Jesus, Aaron, Solomon, David, all the prophets of God were all Muslim because they all submitted their wills to God. And it was Abraham who had the religion of what we call Hanafiya. He was the one that named us Muslims, those who submit to God. He didn't call himself Abrahamic faith or anything named about his name or his tribe or anything. He called it Islam, Muslims, because Islam is the religion of those who submit, and those who submit are called Muslims. So all things, as we've mentioned before, everything in the heavens and the earth submits to God, whether we like it or not, whether we're willing to submit to God or not. We as human beings will cease to exist if we don't drink, if we don't eat, we'll die. We have no control over our heart as it beats. We have no control over the way that our food churns in our stomach. We have no control of the blood that flows through our veins. Everything submits to the will of God. These are the laws of God that he has made us submit to. And if any of these things stop, if our hearts stop, if we stop eating, if we stop drinking, if the blood stops flowing through our veins, then we will die. So this is our unwilling submission to God. And those who recognize their creator, that he exists, these are people who believe in God and they submit to God willingly. But when we go back to talking about Abraham, peace and blessing be upon him, what we do during the actual Hajj is actually commemorating the acts of Abraham, his son Ismail, and his wife Hajar, and their sacrifice of, you know, sacrificing and submitting to God. So Abraham, peace and blessing be upon him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when the Lord said to Abraham, and he tried him with certain commands which he fulfilled, and he said to him, verily, I am going to make you a leader of mankind. And he said, and of my offspring, Abraham asked God, and of my offspring. And God said, my covenant does not include those who transgress. So everyone, you know, that submits to God and who follows Abraham, as God says in the Quran, are true in faith. And those who disbelieved, who don't want to follow the religion of Abraham, then those are the people who God will not fulfill his promise to. So God made a promise to Abraham. And we know that all the prophets, the majority of the prophets, were sent from the seed of Abraham. We know that Abraham, and we'll talk about this because this is getting, you know, it's a little situation that we have. However, let's just talk about Abraham, peace and best be upon him, and when God asked him to make this great sacrifice. And the big sacrifice that God asked Abraham to do was to sacrifice his son. And we understand as Muslims that God had two sons. Abraham had two sons. His first son was Ismail. And Ismail, peace and blessings be upon him, was the first son of Abraham. And according to the Bible, Abraham was 86 years old when he had Ismail, and he was 100 years old when he had Isaac. Peace be upon both of them. So as Muslims, we believe that both sons were sons of promise, and both sons were prophets of God. However, we believe that at that particular time, Abraham, for 86 years, he had no offspring. And he made a dua to Allah. He said, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh God, grant me a righteous son. So Abraham was granted a righteous son. Unfortunately, he couldn't have that son through Sarah, who was his first wife. But he was given another wife, Hagar. And people, you know, they say, well, Hagar was a concubine, or Hagar was, you know, a right-hand possession, regardless of what she was. Even though the King James Version of the Bible says, and Abraham took Hagar as his wife. And as Muslims, you know, just like the people of Abraham and those people who came after Abraham, having more than one wife was very common. Abraham had more than one wife. Jacob had more than one wife. Moses had more than one wife. David had more than one wife. Solomon had 999 wives, you know, and right-hand possessions, as they call it. You know, unfortunately, Prophet Jesus, peace and blessing be upon him, he didn't marry. Prophet Yahya, John the Baptist, they didn't marry. So they will, as we believe as Muslims, Jesus will return. This will be another show. He will get married and he will die. As Allah says, "Kullu nafsin da'ikatul maut, thumma ilayna turja'un." Every soul will have a taste of death, and unto God shall you all return. So Abraham had two sons. One, Ismail, who was a small boy or almost a teenager when Isaac was born. And the Bible, unfortunately, says, sacrifice thine only son, Isaac. So it completely excludes Ismail, peace be upon him. So if the Bible would say, sacrifice thine son, Isaac, that we would have no problem with it. But the Bible says, sacrifice thine only son, when we know Christians, Muslims, and Jews know that Abraham had two sons. But unfortunately, because his mother, and here we have the racial situation again, because Hagar was from Africa, you know, and she wasn't completely from the tribes of Israel, that she was considered an outsider. So therefore, unfortunately, over the years, that Ismail became cast out. But even the Jewish law, it says that the one cast out will have a double reward from the one who was not cast out. So I think people really need to learn, you know, their books and their scriptures, and they'll see a lot of things that we're saying today here on, you know, the safe zone. So we know that Abraham had this son, and for 14 years, there was no one else in the picture. Sarah was barren. No one knew that Isaac was going to come about. So Abraham, after praying all of these years, what did God do? He asked him to sacrifice him. He said, sacrifice your son as a command from me. And Abraham was willing to do whatever God had commanded. So he was willing to sacrifice his son Ismail. And Ismail, this young boy, who said to his father, when his father said, I saw in a vision that I must sacrifice you, he said, oh, my father, do as you are pleased, as you will find me one who is patient and forbearing. And the word Ismail, according to the Bible, Ishmael means God hears. According to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will be Halim. He will be one ready to forbear and be patient. So Ismail was this son that Abraham had, whom God had guided as he had guided Abraham. And he guided Isaac, and he guided Jacob, And all of these prophets from God. And unfortunately, the Bible says that he will be a wild man, you know, that he will be, you know, in the wilderness, a wild, you know, man, unfortunately. And this is how they describe Ishmael, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as a righteous servant of God. So as Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, you know, God sent something into place. Some say God replaced it with a ram, etc. But Ishmael was willing to die for the sake of God. So this was their sacrifice. An older man willing to sacrifice his son and a young boy willing to die because he wanted to command to follow the commands of God. So this is what we as Muslims commemorate when we go to our Hajj or our pilgrimage, to, you know, follow the way of Abraham. And one of the things that we must talk about as well is the sacrifice of his wife Hajar, because God commanded Abraham as well to take his family in a place in the desert. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Abraham to leave them there. So Abraham takes his wife Hajar and this young boy to the desert, and she's asking him. Abraham starts to walk away, and she says, where are you going? You know, where are you doing? You're leaving us in this place with little provisions, little water, little food. There's no people here. There's just a desert. There's nothing around here. And Abraham keeps walking. She asks him again, why are you leaving us here? He keeps walking. And then she says, did God ask you to do this? And he said, yes. And she said that he will not abandon us. So this is a beautiful sacrifice and faith of these three people. This is faith beyond our comprehension, because now these three people have sacrificed almost everything. A man willing to sacrifice his son, a son willing to die because his father wants to kill him, and a woman being left in the desert with nothing, but God is there, and all three of them know that God is the one who commands and God is the one that will take care of them. So now Abraham leaves them in the desert, and by the will of God, it says that an angel came because Hajar went searching for water. She ran between the two mountains of Safa and Marwa. This is something that we do when we perform the Hajj. When I went there, and I thought it was like something like, you know, right around the corner. You run between these two mountains. It's very quick, but it's really serious. 7 times she did this back and forth. So you actually have to do it 14 times, and it's a distance. So if you're not like in good shape, whatever, you know, it's kind of difficult, you know. So, but this was the sacrifice that they made for the will of God, to please God. So once Abraham left them there, and they said this angel came, and this angel either kicked his wing or his heel, and therefore gushed this well of Zamzam. And this well is in existence until this day. It's flowing. Archaeologists have tried to find the source of this water. They still cannot find it till this day. With all the technology that we have, they cannot find the source of where this water is coming from, because we believe this was a miracle from God. So Abraham leaves his family there in the desert, and Abraham comes back and forth to visit Ishmael. And of course, when you have water, you're going to have people. So the people came and they asked, could they settle there? Because now there's water in the desert. The Bedouins come and they ask, and then all the tribes and so forth start to come around. And then Ishmael marries from this tribe. And from this tribe comes the Arab tribes. And as we know, from Isaac come the tribes of Israel, from Jacob. Isaac had Jacob, and from Jacob come the 12 tribes of Israel. And all of the prophets that came from God came from the side of the children of Israel. But the only prophet that came from the side of Ishmael was the prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. As the Bible even says, the first house of worship was built in Becca. And the Bible even mentions Becca. It talks about Becca, and the name was changed later on to Mecca. So these are the things that we wanted to talk about, because Abraham, peace and blessings be upon him, he built the Kaaba, or rebuilt the Kaaba, because it is said that Adam, peace and blessings be upon him, built the Kaaba, or the first house of worship, for the worship of one God. And then Abraham and his son Ishmael rebuilt the Kaaba. And it is said, and remember when Abraham, we made the house of the Kaaba at Mecca a place of resort for mankind and a place of safety. And take you people, the place of Abraham, or the stone on which Abraham stood while he was building the Kaaba, as a place of prayer for some of your prayers, and making tawaf or circumambulation. And we commanded Abraham and Ishmael that they should purify my house for those who are circumambulating it, or staying or bowing or prostrating themselves there in prayer. And remember when Abraham said, "My Lord, make this city Mecca a place of security and provide its people with fruits, such of them as believe in Allah in the last day." He, Allah, answered, "As for him who disbelieves, I shall leave him in contentment for a while, then I shall compel him to torment of the fire, and the worst indeed is that destination." And remember when Abraham said, and his son said, they were raising the foundations of the house of the Kaaba, saying, "Our Lord, accept this service from us. Verily, you are the all-knowing, the all-hearing. Our Lord, and make us submissive unto you, and of our offspring a nation submissive unto you. And show us our ceremonies of pilgrimage, Hajj, and Umrah, and accept our repentance. Truly, you are the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. And our Lord, send amongst them a messenger of their own, and one who will recite unto them your verses and instruct them in the book, and the hikmah, the wisdom, and the laws and the jurisprudence of wisdom and prophethood, and sanctify them. For verily, you are the Almighty, the All-Wise." So these were just some of the prayers that Abraham and Ismail made when they were circumambulating and building the Kaaba. And these are the prayers that they made to Almighty God. So this is just something I wanted to talk about today, because when we make this Hajj, it's not necessarily something that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be, had established, but it was something that Abraham had established centuries before the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And all the people, all the righteous people, used to come to the Kaaba for worship. They used to come to visit the Kaaba. And unfortunately, the Kaaba was filled with idols, and you know, people started worshiping idols later on. So now the place of worship switched to Jerusalem. So, but once the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, came, then that center of learning, that center of wisdom, that center of worship was supposed to be in Mecca. So when the Muslims, when they come there, and as I said, there are almost 3 million people. When I was there in 2015, it was about 1.5 million, because they were doing all this construction and they weren't allowing as many people to come at that particular time. And it was an unfortunate situation where a crane had fallen down, one of the construction cranes, that had killed several people. There was a stampede that year which killed, you know, over 1,000 people. You know, may God bless them. But, you know, they weren't allowing as many people at that time. But there's almost 3 million people every year from every corner of the earth. And when you go there, and as I've mentioned, one of the biggest influences for me was the autobiography of Malcolm X. And we're going to talk about that if we get a chance to take a little quick break. If you give us about 2 minutes, we're going to take a quick breather, and we'll be right back with the Safe Zone. Once again, welcome back to the Safe Zone. My name is Saifuddin Hassan, your host. And once again, I greet you with the greeting of peace, the greeting of all the prophets of God. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. So once again, we're talking about the Hajj, or pilgrimage to Mecca. And the pilgrimage to Mecca is done by a Muslim once in a lifetime, if they have the financial, the physical means to do so. And when they congregate in this particular place called Mecca, which is located in Saudi Arabia, there's over 2 million people every year, between 2 and 3 million people from every corner of the earth. And I mean every corner of the earth. And when I was there, you know, I was amazed, even though I've seen it on TV and, you know, I've read about it. As a matter of fact, the most influential situation for me becoming a Muslim was reading the autobiography of Malcolm X. And if you ask almost probably half the Muslims in this country, whether they're black, white, Latino, whatever nationality they may come from in this country, who have reverted to Islam, who have come back to Islam, they will say, I've read the autobiography of Malcolm X. And when they get to the final part, because Malcolm X started out as, you know, a pimp and a pusher and a drug dealer and all of these things. And he went into this particular group that wasn't Islam, you know. So when he went to Mecca, he was like amazed that, you know, this particular group was teaching him that, you know, the white people were devils and black people were gods and all this craziness. Yet when he went to Mecca, he saw people from every corner of the world, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. And I just want to maybe read a couple quick things that he said, because we talked about this last time. But I just wanted to read, because this is a man in 1964. And as I said, we're still struggling, 2017, trying to deal with race relations in our country and the world. You know, and we know as Muslims, this is what we call alamatusa'a. These are the signs of the last days when human beings will deteriorate to the point that there's no morality, that there's no faith in God. You know, there's hatred towards one another, hatred towards your fellow human being. You know, so these are the things that are plaguing, you know, our society in 2017, after everything that we have been through with civil rights and all the racial tension that took place in the 60s and 70s and the Vietnam War and all these things that have plagued our society. We're still trying to accept each other as just basic human beings. But Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X said, he said, never have I witnessed such sincere hospitality, an overwhelming spirit of true brotherhood as is practiced by people of all colors and races here in this ancient holy land, the home of Abraham, Muhammad, and all the prophets of the Holy Scriptures. For the past week, I have been utterly speechless and spellbound by the graciousness I see displayed all around the world, all around me, by people of all colors. There were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They were from every color, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. But we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experiences in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white. America needs to understand Islam because it is the one religion that erases the race problem from its society. Throughout my travels in the Muslim world, I have met, talked to, and eaten with people who in America would have been considered white, but the white attitude was removed from their minds by the religion of Islam. I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all colors together, irrespective of their color. And you may be shocked by these words coming from me, but on this pilgrimage, what I have seen and experienced has forced me to rearrange much of my thought patterns previously held and to toss aside some of my previous conclusions. This was not too difficult for me. Despite my firm convictions, I have always been a man who tried to face facts and to accept the reality of life as new experiences and new knowledge unfolds it. I have always kept an open mind, which is necessary to the flexibilities that must go hand in hand with every form of intelligence and search for truth. So this is one of the couple of the sayings of Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X, when he made the pilgrimage to Mecca. And as I said, this was one of my greatest influences in my life when I was studying at the University of Pittsburgh. And, you know, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X, and, you know, this influenced me when I read about his pilgrimage to Mecca. So I went to my brother, who was already Muslim, and of course he was telling me about Islam. But at that time I was young, I'm in college, you know, you're partying, you're doing all those crazy things, you know, that college students do for the first time being away from home. And, you know, I wasn't thinking about, you know, religion or anything of that nature. But once I read that book, it touched my heart. And I went home and I asked my brother, he gave me a Quran. I read that and I was completely convinced. And as I said, one of my verses that I really loved when I read it was that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again said, O mankind, we have created you all from a single pair of a male and a female, Adam and Eve, and have made you into nations and tribes, and you may get to know each other and not hate each other. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of God are those who are most God conscious of you, and God is well aware and well acquainted with all things. So this was a basic fundamental verse about how we as human beings should be related. And our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, went even further. When he kept reminding us in one of his last sermons, he said that there is no superiority over an Arab, over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab over an Arab. And there is no superiority over a black over a white, nor a white over a black, except by piety and righteous action. You are all the children of Adam, and Adam was created from dust. Kullu min al-Adam wa Adam min turab. That you are all created from Adam, and Adam was created from dust. It's like the Christians say, you're going back, Adam, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You're going back to that which you were created. So the Prophet Muhammad continued this, and he experienced even things in his lifetime, in the ummah of his, you know, his followers and his disciples. And there was a beautiful story about Bilal ibn Rabah, who was from Ethiopia, and one of the Arabs, Abu Dhar, who was actually half Arab and half African, that they had an argument. And so Abu Dhar said to Bilal, you son of a black woman. So Bilal, who was a former slave, who was freed by the Muslims, freed by the Prophet Muhammad, and particularly Abu Bakr, one of the companions, who had freed him from slavery, bought him from his master, you know, freed him. He said, you know, I'm upset. You know, I'm a Muslim now. I'm not supposed to be dealing with the same ignorance that I was dealing with before. And so he went to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And so he got upset, and he went to Abu Dhar, and he said, oh, Abu Dhar, are you taunting him about his mother? Verily, there is still some influence of jahiliyyah, of ignorance in you. And he told him, he said, you are no better than him because of your skin color. Once again, you are all the children of Adam, and Adam was created from dust. And he, peace and blessings be upon him, said that Allah does not look into your bodies, strong or beautiful, but he looks into your hearts. And whoever has a pious heart, God will have compassion for them. Once again, you are all the children of Adam, and Adam was created from dirt. So, brothers and sisters out there, I'm saying this to all of us, that we as human beings, because as Muslims, we believe there's only one race, and that is the human race, that Almighty God has created us, you know, and he is testing us. As he says in the Quran, that if it was up to God, he could have made you all one nation, but his plan is to test you and that which he has given you. So strive you all as in a race and all virtue. So God told us he could make us all look alike. We could have been all one color. We could have all spoke one language. But this is our test in this world, that God is testing us to see if which one of us is going to say, oh, I'm better than this person because I'm white. Or I'm better than that person because I'm black. I'm better than this person because I'm Arab, or I'm Pakistani, or I'm Indian, or I'm rich, or I'm poor, or whatever the case may be. So we got to wake up as humanity, as human beings, and realize that we're supposed to be God's creation, and we're supposed to be God's Khalifa on this earth. We're supposed to be his representative. We're supposed to be above the animals. So God has told us this. So once again, I'd like to thank you all. I wish I had more time, but we're running out of time. So we have a couple minutes left. So I want to say once again, and hopefully we'll see you next time on The Safe Zone. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you.
1 minute I'll be flying. I'll see people of Middle Eastern descent getting pulled, you know, random selections beeping through the machine. And then Ebola happened, and all of a sudden the focus shift. Focus shifted, and now it was Africans getting pulled aside, Africans waiting.
Peace be with you. My name is Zain Beaker from South Africa. Our world knows too much pain, too much hatred, and too much suffering. And our condition will never change until we change what's within ourselves. So let's spark that change. First, we need the love.
As we sail across the sea of life, so much pain, warring divides. It's a shame we don't see how it can be. Oh, we need to smile at each other, wish for your brother, help one another. All we need is love. All we need to honor our mother, shelter our sister.
change that's within all of us. All we need to smile at each other, reach for your brother, help one another. All we need is love. All we need to honor our mother, shelter our sisters, alter our existence. God's help will come from up above, but first we need the love.
I am in the birds, I am in the trees, from the brown branches to the green leaves. I'm colorful, spectrum infinite, I touch all indiscriminate. Read compassion and sentiment, limitless in my power to heal the hearts of men. But they're so forgetful, that's why I remind on the instrumental. This life is a trial, can never let the test affect your smile. Reach for your brother, go the extra mile. Kiss for your mother, hug your sister, let your wife know that you miss her. Know that you can never give up, when you fall to the floor, I'm the reason you must get up. Love, I'm a blessing from God, so why you don't use me more? It's so odd. You need love, we need love.
Love is all we need. Love is all we need.
Smile.